is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, broadcasting live from the globalist-occupied country formerly known as Canada, now known as Kanatistan. And here in Mother Kanatistan, there apparently is a new statue they're talking about building. It is the Mother Kanatistan statue, and who the hell is going to pay for it? This up on BuzzFeed. Parks Canada won't say how much needs to be raised in donations to give their approval. The group behind the controversial Mother Canada monument only has a few thousand dollars in the bank, and some are worried that taxpayers could end up on the hook for as much as the statue's potential $60 million price tag. The proposed 80-foot-tall monument to fallen Canadian soldiers in Cape Breton Highlands National Park has become the focus of a national debate. People have criticized its aesthetics, argued that the national park is not an appropriate location for the statue, raised concerns about whether the news anchors should be endorsing it. One important question is where the money is coming from and whether the taxpayers could end up footing part of the bill. The Never Forgotten National Memorial Foundation is promising to raise the cost of Mother Kanatistan from private donations from the group told BuzzFeed Canada. It expects to project a cost of $25 million. Earlier estimates range from $25 to $60 million. But according to filings with the Canada Revenue Agency, as of the end of last year, the foundation had only $6,000 in the bank. It also had $30,000 in accounts receivable against $396,000 in accounts payable and accrued liabilities.
They're late on funds.
Yeah. So anyways, the article goes on further down there. It is called Who the Hell is Going to Pay for the Mother Canada Statue? It's up on BuzzFeed. You know, this is by Paul McLeod, and I don't necessarily, you know, agree or disagree with the article. But I think it raises a good question. Who the hell is going to pay for it? And, you know, say it costs $60 million or more. You know, couldn't this money be better spent? There are veterans that are homeless. There are veterans that aren't homeless, but they're living on cat food and tuna. You know? So how about we give the money to the veterans instead of blowing the veterans all this money on statues? I don't know. I think the money could be better allocated feeding the veterans that served this country rather than just, you know, let them be homeless and eat cat food for the rest of their lives. Let them go die in a hole while we build grandiose statues off the coast called Mother Kanatistan.
Yeah, it is definitely a giant statue. It's like, what they say, 80 foot tall. And it's a monument for Canadian soldiers. But who is Mother Canada? That's another question you got to ask, because I don't recognize this woman in the that they've made the design of the statue of, unless it's the character from Game of Thrones, one of the characters.
Well, doesn't it sound like Mother Russia?
Yeah.
Like, oh, welcome to Mother Kanatistan.
Mother Canada.
Niet.
But if you watch Game of Thrones, it's the woman that gives birth to a shadow, sort of.
Oh, it's a shadow. Shadow people.
Yeah. She's sort of an evil character. That's basically who it reminds me of.
A shadow government.
So if they need a few million, they could always try to hook up with Game of Thrones' successful HBO show for sponsorship.
Well, they could sell advertising space on the on Mother Canada Stan statue itself.
Yeah, because she's wearing some rags, so whoever.
Yeah, you get some LCD screens up there with some ads running. Make it look like it's like the Times Square statue.
Yeah, see, I think it's sort of like a Statue of Liberty because it's probably one of the most eastern places. Like Cape Breton is somewhere out in the Atlantic.
Yeah, Mother Kanatistan, she is a tale of a lady who used to beat her children. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's probably a Masonic monument because most of these are. Like, that's the Statue of Liberty. It was made by French Freemasons, and then it was given to America, brought over.
Hey, if they're able to raise the funds privately to build it, you know, I don't really have much of an issue with it. I just, if the taxpayers are going to be paying for most of, or the majority of, or even half of, it's not, it's no good.
Well, do you think the homeless, veterans will have to pay for it too as well out of their pocket change?
Well, it's really just spitting in their face. You know, any homeless or they don't even have to be homeless, just any veteran on a fixed income that's barely scraping by and low on food and has no money. I mean, it's this ridiculous monument's just spitting in their face. Oh, gee, thanks for the service. Maybe one day I can hitchhike out west and or out east and see this statue that I can't afford, because I can't afford a bus ticket or a plane ride. So I mean, it'd be a different story if you know, economically Canada was doing good and we didn't have homeless, starving veterans.
Well, you have a pension when you leave the service?
Oh yeah, you got pensions, but I mean, there's times when the people have been denied. There's quite a few instances of that happening. And then it's a fixed income, right? So, you know, okay, you're guaranteed this much. Well, that was way back in when? The 60s, 70s, 80s? Well, there's this thing called inflation that steals your money. Right? So if you're on a fixed income of, you know, $900 pension a month or whatever it is, it's... You know, the price of everything goes up. Your pension does not increase.
So it actually goes down.
So yeah, that's the game plan. That's why they print all this money and imagine up all this money and cause inflation, is to steal your retirement plan. And it doesn't matter what you invested in. They'll steal it through inflation, and the average citizen doesn't even see that it's going on. And it happens slowly over time. It's not like it's overnight, you know.
Just like diamonds are inflated, and they're actually useless, really.
Yeah, there's not that many uses for them, and yes, they are inflated by... Well, the way they inflate them is not by creating more diamonds. They're inflating the price of the diamonds, making them more valuable by hoarding them, and by having a monopoly on them.
I guess it just depends on... how you rate them yourself. Oh, they look nice on my wife's or girlfriend's finger, you know, like, I think it's priceless.
Yeah. Well, if the diamonds don't go through the diamond monopoly system, then they're considered blood diamonds. So it's ridiculous. Yes, some of them would be blood diamonds, but some of them aren't.
They want you to get De Beers.
Yeah, they want you, De Beers runs the diamond show, okay? And there's no shortage of diamonds. They're not scarce. They're not. I mean, it's a joke. So the diamonds have been an ongoing scam for the long time.
Rare jewels.
Yeah, there are blood diamonds, and they get funneled through De Beers, and De Beers claim, then stamps their approval. Okay, magically, they're not blood diamonds anymore. And then anyone, say, just some private guy, just some guy walking around Africa, he's not working at a mine, he's digging through the muck, he finds a diamond, he goes and sells it on the street or on the black market, and that diamond ends up in a jewelry store or something on a ring, and is considered a blood diamond because it didn't go through De Beers. So yes, there is an issue with blood diamonds and the diamond trade, but it's not as black and white as people think it is.
Can get Mother Canada a ring.
But I mean, you could smash up the diamond industry by squishing the monopoly, but it would then collapse the price of diamonds to such a low level that, you know, most diamond mines would just close anyway. So, I mean, I don't know.
Just like the nickel mines up there in Sudbury.
Well, yeah. Nickel's a bit different because that's a base metal that you produce things out of.
Yeah.
So that's a base metals. That's a different story than diamonds are virtually useless. There's some industrial applications they could use them for.
Yeah.
But,
I've been up at the nickel belt. They got a museum. You have to go down to the mines down there. It's a whole museum, like from, like the turn of the century right up till now, which is all computerized. Before, if they wanted to, dynamite a certain area, they just dynamited a certain area and just hoped that there's something down there. But nowadays it's all computerized and they know exactly where to mine. And that's how they do it. And women were not allowed to go down there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to mine. Nowadays you got women going down there all the time. But back in those days, women weren't allowed. I wonder why. Nag, 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 nag. Probably. No, I don't know. They probably, it's women.
They didn't have any respect for Mother Canada back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. So we went down there and it was pretty interesting. You had to get in a helmet to go down there as well. Cause you bang your head on different things and stuff like that. So you had to be very careful, but it was an interesting tour. It was great. So that's how you did everything in those days, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I just saw the Mother Canada. I just saw the reason why they got a rush on it. The foundation hopes to have the monument in place by Canada's 150th birthday, 2017.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we got 150th birthday coming up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Will it be going up in
the Corporation of Canada?
Will it be going up in Halifax or?
So that's Cape Breton, but they show the outcrop area. It looks like it's like just a barren, like rock beach.
Right.
That they're going to have to build up.
Well, you kind of think they would have it in Halifax because that's where the port is. Pier 21. That's where everybody came over from Europe, years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Through that port.
Well, maybe this is something you have to pass to get there because, it's like if it was a Statue of Liberty thing, they want the immigrants to pass it as they see it. I don't think there's many immigrants coming over by boat, though, these days.
150 years. They should have made the statue of, like, a murdered, a butchered Indian.
Well, it does say they've got to wait for a First Nations review and environmental assessment.
Wouldn't it be more fitting, just a picture of a butchered Indian? 150-year birthday, here you go. Something to be proud of. Or maybe a statue of a Chinese guy going into a mountainside with some nitroglycerin in his hand.
I'm sure there was pirates too back out there in the Atlantic.
Oh, there's still pirates today. Well,
they should do a pirate ship statue.
Yeah, exactly. With the ISIS flag flown on it.
Yeah. Maybe get some Somali pirates to patrol the area.
I like how they give a range to 25 to 60 million, somewhere in there. That range.
How do you, like, couldn't narrow it down. And it always, everything's over budget when it comes to these kinds of things. It's always over the top, like whatever the top part of the range was is probably going to be double that.
Mm-hmm.
So 120 million. Just make it a billion. It's our 150th birthday.
Yeah, so that's where you know it's going to be at least partially government funded if they don't do the whole thing. Because the government has set aside their Canada Day fund, I guess, 2017.
But how can we? We're in debt. $600+ billion. How can we pay for it when we're in debt? We want to go more in debt.
Well, just take an extra credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they would consider this an asset, Mother Canada, because it could go on the list of, UN heritage sites or something.
Yeah, and what happens whenever they sell off? They build these public monuments or these assets or buildings or whatever. They charge us ridiculous rates. It always goes way over budget. And then as we start to go bankrupt, we're like, well, we're going to sell off some of these assets. We don't really need them. And they sell them off for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
So say a $60 million Mother Canada stand statue after at the fire sale, you could probably get it for $1 million or maybe a couple million. Sit on it for a few years and then maybe sell it to some other country, get it shipped to Uruguay or something. I don't know.
Have it melted down and build ships out of it.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to be in debt with that, I believe. And with the Scam-Am games going on, we're going to be in debt again. Oh, boy, when is this going to end?
Yeah, that was a lot of building.
Yeah.
I checked some of it out this week. I saw the Nathan Phillips Square, and which I guess that's one of their official venues. Like, that's where they have the parties at night. They got a bunch of stages there, and that's where they have the official store. But I also went down to the Torch, down at the CN Tower. And it definitely looks like they're, it's like basically the Torch is designed almost like the back of Patchy. So it looks like they're burning Patchy, which is weird.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's their mascot, the official mascot. It's like a multicolored torch.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking.
Was it to symbolize the gay a gay torch or something?
Yeah, and it's, well, it's part of the Fourth Reich as well, because as you know, the torch started in the Third Reich, torch relay.
So we got the Nazi symbolism coupled with homosexuality symbolism?
Yeah, it's like the rainbow swastika.
It's the rainbow Nazi torch. Great.
That conspiracy.
And it only cost us, $8 billion or something like that.
Well, we don't know the final price yet, but there was $2.5 billion and then you gotta add more.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? We're not gonna know till I think, you know, a little after the dust has settled on this.
But the one that they're trying to get, there's a taxpayer federation is trying to get the facts and figures on Kanye West, because that was the big announcement this week.
Oh, Kanye West, yeah, he's gonna show up to the Scam-Am Games here.
Yeah, to close it off next weekend, I guess.
Right, so, yeah, what's that gonna cost us, and why? Who? Kanye West, what do Canadians care about Kanye West?
Well, he's a global, worldwide, movement because he's also known as Yeezus.
Right, but I mean, like, this is appealing to, like, the smallest percentage, a tiny demographic. Most Canadians do not care about Kanye West or any, you know, many rappers out there.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't matter if you brought Eminem here or something. It's like, well, you're appealing to like some teenagers and the odd college kids maybe. I mean, which,
who well, don't you know, have the whole money. Thing they don't, is that...
Do you know any teenagers or college kids with money? All they have is no money or debt. And there's little to no jobs out there in this economy. So you want to appeal with this. Oh, we're going to bring the youth in. Well, the youth don't have money to even get in, never mind buy anything while they're down there. Like a marketing fail, that's all I could see. That's all I can tell you.
Mm.
They need to bring in somebody who attracts – bring in an artist that attracts the demographic that has money to spend. They can pay for parking. They can pay for tickets. They can pay for, you know, food and drinks and that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter anyway, because at the end of the day – it's all going to be, no matter, even if they did market the hell out of it, they've spent way too much money. They'd have to run the Pan Am Games for the next 10 years straight to try to recoup the billions of dollars they've wasted on this nonsense.
Yeah, now you're getting closer, because that's, I was going to say that, one of the major purposes that they've shown now is that if they do a successful games, it's going to boost their chances for the next Olympics. And they're gonna plan for 2024 Toronto Olympics.
But what is their view of success? Is their view of success spending billions of taxpayers' money to make like 10, $20 million and you didn't even make it because they keep forgetting to subtract that $20 million they made from the billions. So they lost, you know, if they spent $6 billion, they lost like $5.8 billion. It's like, oh, congratulations. That's a failure. That's a fail. And that's what they do with the Olympics too. They spend way more money than they can take in, and it's a waste of money. Well, not in their eyes, because them and all their insider buddies get all the contracts that so they make tons of money through stealing it from the taxpayer. So I don't know.
It is a big financial scam, and this here's a one I found yesterday. They're handing out PayMobile. These looks like a credit card. It's got a MasterCard logo on it, and it's "You Are Welcome, Toronto 2015 free promo gift card." It's got $5 on it, and it says no activation fee, no monthly fee, no transaction fee. So it's basically it's like a cashless card that it says is by the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation, which I think I read it elsewhere was is the host First Nation of the Pan Am Games, and now they basically they've got their logo on a credit card. And they're just handing out like these down the walking down the street. They've got some volunteers. Use it at our food truck. You are welcome. So I guess they got a food truck too.
So what is it? Is this like a prepaid type of card that they can?
Yeah, activation free. And then it's got a monthly balance, maintenance free, balance inquiry free, foreign currency exchange, bank rate plus 2.5%. So I think you might be able to add more to this, not for use at ATMs or online gambling.
Yeah, I mean there's the prepaid, I think Visa, MasterCard, those things. And I believe they've recently waived their fees that they used to charge for the prepaids.
Ah. But then, that's probably what they got. It's just weird that they would have the host First Nation is now also tied in with this financial scam. They're trying to get you with.
Well, I mean, the only thing money. I'll say about the prepaids is it's, you know, people who are worried about online security for doing any type of transactions, they want to order something online. And they're worried about going through PayPal because there's been lots of problems with PayPal, using their own credit, using an actual credit card, or using their bank account. That, you know, I know why they feel insecure about using that, because anyone could be key logging or screen capturing your computer who left something on there from a website you visited. So you never know what the hell, who's watching what. So you don't really want to do that online banking stuff. So I mean, a prepaid credit card, say there's something you can't find locally, you gotta order it online. And, it's perfect for that because you can go load on the amount of money you need to put on, maybe a little bit more just in case, not much. And then that way, if somebody was hacking you or watching you doing screen capturing, there's no real money there for them to steal. You know? So I mean, it's one way to protect yourself for online purchases, but you know, most people don't care. They're just like, look, I got to buy this stuff. They'll use their bank card or their PayPal or a credit card. But I know many people that have been screwed over online shopping using these methods. A prepaid card. Now, if you load it, you know, if you load your prepaid card up with $1,000 and then you go buy something for $15 and somebody's screen capturing it, well, you know, that person could theoretically empty the rest of the card on you. So really, you're only protected on a prepaid card if you know what you're going to buy first, you go put that amount on and you go buy it right away online. The card's empty, and there's no way any hackers or anyone watching can steal your money, right? But again, I'm not a big fan of the electronic payment, electronic currency.
Well, we should go back to using straight cash. That way you won't be scammed, you know.
Well, there's a lot of conveniences it can provide, but like say if you were to go all electronic, cashless completely, it's a threat to financial freedom and liberty, I would say. It's a definite threat. So I mean, I think a combination's fine, you know, but to go totally cashless, I think we're basically going up there and hanging our necks in the noose and waiting for the bankers. You know, hoping the bankers don't kick the stool out from under us. You know, if we go cashless, but it doesn't look like, it looks like 2017, the Canadian government or the Canadian Mint is going to put out a $5 Canadian coin. So everyone going out there saying, you know, we're going to the chip and everyone's going to be chipped. It'll be cashless, everything. I'm skeptical that it's as that close.
It probably won't be for another, geez, I don't know, 100 years, maybe more.
Well, who knows? I just, I'm skeptical if they'll ever do it, you know. There's too much money to be made in the underground economy, and how do you make that money, you know, with digital currency? It's too traceable. People don't, the underground economy doesn't want to use digital.
So if they used a $5 coin, let's say, or then the toonie we're using now and the loonie, I guess you can't copy that, a coin.
Oh no, they can copy a coin.
They can copy the coin. Huh?
Yeah, it's just more expensive to do than to say print on a piece of paper. So, but yeah, a $5 coin, you know, if depending on the value of the money at the time, could be worth counterfeiters trying to do a $5 coin. But it's a lot tougher, a lot more costly for them to set up a mint. But yeah, it definitely is doable.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet that I know of. It's all just bills.
Yeah, and that's the thing. For all we know, we could have counterfeit coins in our currency. I mean, who's checking loonies and toonies?
We don't have the machines to do that. If you're going anywhere, whether you're going to Walmart or wherever, they don't have those machines set up for those type of things. So right. Naturally, it's going to cost you, it's going to cost extra to get these machines to do it. But I think, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably doable. In the future.
I think it is doable. I mean, there's been counterfeit silver, you know, in the bullion market that's gone around that has even passed, you know, a lot of the micrometer tests and the weight tests. You know, they really got the weight and the density and, you know, they plated it and you cut it in half and it's fake silver, you know. Anyways, be right back.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
A reputed member of the Gambino crime family and former son-in-law of John Gotti has been freed on a personal bond after being arrested on charges related to an alleged $3 million scam involving stolen cars and scrap metal. We get the latest from SRN's Bob Agnew.
55-year-old Carmine the Bull Agnello was arrested on Wednesday by Cleveland police after an 18-month investigation. Authorities say Agnello made millions by putting sand into vehicles to add weight and then selling the compacted cars to a metals processor. The judge ordered Agnello to wear a monitoring device and to stay away from his scrapyards. Bob Agnew, SRN News.
A man faces 25 years in prison after pleading guilty to kidnapping two Amish girls in northern New York. Stephen Howells and his girlfriend pled guilty to child pornography charges, remain jail, and await sentencing. The Amish girls were 7 and 11 years old, respectively. This is SRN News. A federal law crafted to fight the mobs, giving marijuana opponents a new strategy to stop the expanding industry.
Racketeering lawsuits in Colorado are giving marijuana opponents an avenue to close marijuana businesses without even going to court. One Colorado marijuana shop closed last spring after a group sued not just the shop, but also its bank, its bonding company, and accountant. One by one, plaintiffs agreed to stop doing business with Medical Marijuana of the Rockies until the mountain shop closed its doors. A similar lawsuit is pending in southern Colorado.
SRN's Jeremy House reporting. The cases represent a new approach to fighting marijuana. Pot opponents say that if the government won't stop marijuana's expansion, federal racketeering lawsuits could. Researchers believe they found and tracked the grave of a man who could be considered the first black male slave freed by Abraham Lincoln to a cemetery of a former Minnesota psychiatric hospital. More details at srnnews.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph, Monday and Wednesday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing and put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders? Bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit. Because if we torture him, General, we do that, and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
They've already won. Welcome back to Mother Kanatistan here on Angry Beaver Radio on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. And before we left for the break, we're talking about the possibility of these new $5 coins being counterfeited if the profitability is there. It is doable. And then we were also getting into the counterfeiting of the silver bullion, and I'm sure it's gone on in the gold markets. It's nothing new. So, I mean, people got to watch. I mean, no matter what's out there, people are going to counterfeit it. So, and in terms of the digital nothing, people could say, argue, well, you can't counterfeit it, but they can easily hack and steal digital nothing. And they've set up these banking systems to make it quite easy for people to steal your information and basically clean out your credit card. You know, they don't even got to steal your credit card. They can do it from across the street.
So, well, that's why you should have one of those little plastic card holders that you can buy. Not everywhere, but if you go to even a dollar store, have them.
So right. this is a card holder that's magnetically shielded, and they have wallets. You know, that's probably a little more pricey, but wallets I think the whole wallet or something, or there's different styles that are magnetically shielded to block it out so that electronic pickpockets can't steal your information and then go on a spending spree because you happen to walk by them on the street. You know? And if this doesn't illustrate the complete failure and incompetency of the banks for allowing this type of electronic system to roll out, I don't know what does. It's safe and secure. Well, if it's safe and secure, why do I need a goddamn magnetically shielded wallet? Why do I need a wallet with a force field around it? This is ridiculous. Did the old cards with the magnetic stripe, okay, that dealt with digital currency. But that was not hackable. You did not need a magnetically shielded wallet to protect yourself. All you needed to do was not share your PIN code.
But then they tell you, oh, you should change your PIN code every month or two.
Yeah, well, that's not the issue. The issue we're dealing with here and now today is the electronic pickpocketing. The people who are card skimming is another name for it, card skimming. Anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, look it up on YouTube, electronic pickpocketing, card skimming. And you'll see that how ludicrous this all is. And none of this is possible on the old magnetic stripe cards.
You're right, John, because I remember seeing a video where this a person was sitting down, this other guy, pretty close, and it was a demonstration of how I can take your information via this little machine that I had. It's not very big. You know, you just sit down beside that other person, and all of a sudden you take the information from this guy's wallet, whatever, and that was it. And the guy showed him all the information, and this guy couldn't believe it. So how'd you get my information? And, you know, here I'm showing you. This machine does it. It'll take all your information. And exactly what this guy showed him. All his information, his account number, everything. And the guy goes, wow, I can't believe it. It's true, it does. Showed it on video. Check that out.
Yeah, I've seen the video you're talking about, and folks can see those videos. Just go on YouTube. There's many news agencies have done reports on this. Some of them are many years old. Like, there's mainstream news agencies that did reports on this when this technology first came out. And the banks did nothing. The government did nothing. They just sat there, it's okay, whatever. Let the customers get robbed. And this is intentional. The banks know this is going on. The banks knew this was going to happen. So now the taxpayers are paying the cops to run around in circles like dogs chasing their tails after electronic pickpockets. Meanwhile, we could have prevented all this nonsense by just continuing to use the electronic strips, the magnetic striped cards. If we had just continued to use that technology, we wouldn't have this mess. But they insisted. And, I mean, what choice do you have nowadays?
Well, when you go to the bank, you know, you, say, oh, you want to transfer some money to, from your account to somebody else's account. You can do that, if you have the chip and you put it in there and all the information will come back on their side in the computer. Yep. That's, okay. That your name is so and so. Okay. How much you want to, put in the account? And you just, do it that way. So that way, remember the old ways to get the, deposit slip and everything else, and you put a deposit of some money into another account, but you have to do all the paperwork to do that. Now you don't have to do that. It's all, you know, like I say, it's convenience. It's what it is.
Well, I don't know. It's just these banks, you know, if more and more you're hearing people are just, they're having money disappear electronically from their accounts, and the banks are just replacing it. No questions asked. And they're like, well, somebody stole this somehow out of my account. I didn't make this. How did somebody get in my account and spend $200, $300, $400? And you can see the transaction where it was spent. And it's like, well, somebody else made that. Who did that? And, we need charges laid here. There's theft and fraud going on.
But usually you're on the hook for whatever money is being taken out.
This is what's been going on here in Kanatistan. Many of the banks are just replacing the money that's been stolen back into your account immediately, no questions asked. And even if you press them to investigate the fraud and the theft, they don't want to. They say, well, we'll do our own investigation. Don't worry about it. And it's like, well, it was my account that got stolen. They stole my money. What the hell? I want to know who's stealing my stuff. And, more and more, and you hear this all the time. I hear it all the time. Money goes missing. The banks don't even give them a hassle. But that's not the point. The point is your system's unsecure. The reason they're giving them no hassle is the bank knows this, and they don't want to cause a big stink in the system. But, and here's the thing: if you go and I've tried to debate the bank managers or the people that work in the bank about the new cards, because they're promoting these new cards. When they're not here, they're not really new. They've been around for a while. But when they came out, they were promoting them as more secure. That was their whole thing. And I debated them on them, and none of them could debate. They had to back away and just, you know, cower their heads in shame. And what they're engaged in is false advertising. They're not more secure. They're less secure. Far less secure.
Yeah, but they're still promoting it as being 100% secure of your information.
No, it's not. And they're dishonest when it comes to online banking. You know, most of these banks have an online site that you can bank online with. Well, that the problem is you could go to some other website and some crap gets left on your computer, and now they can screen capture and keylog your computer. And then so later down the road, you're like, oh, I got to go do some online banking. Now the person or the program watching your computer now records your account information, that whole screen, and your password and PIN code and everything when you go to do a transaction. Now they have it. The bank has no way to know who the hell's doing what. I mean, they could try to track IPs and that kind of stuff, but that's after the fact. They got no way to prevent it. So, you know, they don't run that other third party's website. They can control what websites you go to. And they don't know what could be on there, what, you know, potentially harmful software could be on there, malware. It's, It's just a nightmare. People don't know how unsecure they are with digital banking.
Well, when I bought the buttons that I usually have with me and the 9/11 t-shirt, I didn't buy it online. I, you know, but I did go to 911sharethetruth.com, which if anybody out there wants to buy a t-shirt or buttons or the Obama dollars or the Bush dollars or whatever, you can go there. And, if you want to, do it with a check, you can. They take checks. So that's what I did. I, bought everything, and I sent them a check. It took longer, but hey, it worked. And so better to do it by check than, to do it, online. And just print out a receipt. If you have a, have a copy machine, just copy out a receipt. That way you'll know, what you've ordered and everything like that. And just send it to them. Put the address on an envelope and just send it to them. And, in a few weeks you'll get your order. That's the safest way. The oldest way is the best way, I believe. Takes a little longer, but who cares? You're going to get your stuff.
I think the police and fraud departments need to send the banks a bill for labor, because the Canadian people should not be paying for the police's wages to have to investigate this electronic fraud. This is due to incompetence and negligence on the bank's part. They knew this was going to happen before they even implemented this technology over a decade ago. So why do the Canadian taxpayers have to suffer the consequences? You know, so anything that has to do with electronic pickpocketing and electronic digital fraud, the banks need to be paying those police officers and those detectives' wages, not the taxpayer.
Well, they probably have legal immunity anyway.
No, I know it all gets swept under the rug, but
yeah.
To be fair and honest, that's what needs to happen.
How many of those institutions are actually honest?
No, none of them. But you know, if they were forced to pay the police wages to investigate all the fraud, they would clean up the fraud. They would close all the loopholes in this electronic banking system so that criminals couldn't easily steal all your data. They've purposely made it this way. So.
Well, we're not using real currency anyway. Our real currency is dead. So that's why this crap is happening now.
How do you go from a digital currency system that worked basically the same, that was completely secure and nobody could digitally hack from their smartphone or from some device from across the bloody road? And then instead we switch to this system that's supposedly more secure, that is completely hackable and completely vulnerable. It's just a complete joke. And I mean, so, and now we're paying who knows how many millions of dollars to send the police around in a wild goose chase, chasing friggin', you know, Bernie Madoff in the Matrix or something, you know, whoever the hell it is, they don't know who the hell they're chasing. So it's ridiculous. So that we need to stop paying for it. The banks need to be penalized. You can pay the cops wages to chase around the criminals that are exploiting your negligence. So either fix the negligence. Well, they need to fix the negligence and they need to compensate our police forces, so that, you know, the taxpayers can be reimbursed for all this blown money on this nonsense. But unfortunately, even if you were to do all that, all that would happen is, even if you could get the banks to comply, is they would then pass that cost on to their customers. And service fees and all this other stuff, interest rates.
Yeah, we could be reimbursed with a nice, comfortable check in the bank.
Yeah, but that's what I mean is even if you were able to get them to reimburse them, the bank will just pass that cost onto their customers. They're not going to pay them. They're just going to charge them more money. Mm. So they basically, the bank will just get the people to pay themselves. It's like trying to tax the rich, you know, or tax a big multinational corporation. They just raise the price. And who are they raising the price on? They're not raising the price on themselves. They're raising the price on you and me. So it doesn't work. All we're doing is robbing from ourselves in this delusion that we're going to get free money from them. But all they do is raise our prices So it costs us more so that they can pay whatever we told them they have to pay.
Yeah. So, welcome to debt slavery.
Yeah, it's just a giant circle.
It is, yeah. It is.
There's a bank that's the main sponsor of the Pan Am Games, CIBC. And down at City Hall, they've got these swings. I guess they're for kids to go on. But I think they're, because they're large, so anyone from all ages can go on. Because they're basically, it's like a the side panels of a bank machine, like a place you'd get your money out of. And it's like you sit on that sort of like as a seat. So it doesn't have the actual machine in it. It's like a, it's just like a hollowed out bank panels.
Oh, like so you sit down in there, and all of a sudden you get your you get your wallet scanned. Sit down here.
Yeah, the just free a scan. Tap.
Yeah. Well, not the kids per se, but you know,
they'll tap your card.
I think the kids are more safe than the than we are, crying out loud, because they don't. They, a lot of them don't, little kids at 7, 10 years old don't have, wallets. Well, some do, I guess, but they don't have bank cards and all this kind of stuff. So they're a lot safer with money.
Yeah, but they're, the only danger is if they get access to like, the parents' account online.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can start doing their own trading.
Doing their own trading. Hey, my kid's rich at 10 years old.
Yeah.
A little Trump there.
Well, don't be surprised if sometime in the future there's some massive, you know, financial economic warfare involving cyber attacks, and a bunch of people's accounts go empty or something or some nonsense.
Well, World War III doesn't have to be bombs and everything else. It could be financial.
Well, and the whole system's completely open and vulnerable to something like this. And it's like they're doing it on purpose. The banks are not this stupid. They took out a digital system that was secure and they put one in that was full of vulnerabilities and made it tailored to the thief. And then when everything goes down, they're going to shrug their shoulder and go, oopsie. Oh, we didn't know. So I don't know. Just don't be surprised if that happens, because I can't see any other reason why the banks would do this. They're not this stupid. They know it's unsecure. When they try to sell you on it and you try to debate them, highlighting all the facts of how unsecure this stuff is, this technology is, they have nothing. They can't debate you. They just shrug their shoulders and go, oh, well, you know, like one of them is like, oh, that's just our selling points. You know, we know it's less secure. So, you know, like, why else would they do it? I don't know. I'm theorizing on it because I don't understand why they would want their banking system to be unsecure and hackable. Other than they're going to hack it themselves. Well, steal all the money.
Yeah, the TD Bank is part of the Bilderberg Group. No wonder they can do all these kind of things.
See, most of the bank's money is other people's money. It's not even their money. Pretty much all the money that the bank has is other people's money. And then they times that by 8 or 9 or 10, and they lent money that doesn't even exist out to other people. So they have like way negative. They don't have anything. So I don't know.
Well, that's just the way it's going. And unfortunately, until we confront these fraud bankers, we can't do anything. A lot of people don't want to do anything. They're happy with the way they're doing it, and they're happy with their lives. So what can you do? So the Scan-Am games are on now to distract them from their that problem. So,
well, I mean, should the, you know, like here in Kanatistan, the economy's not that great, but should it keep ticking along as it is, it's better, you know, at least it's not that bad. People will be fine, but, you know, that's the danger is I don't see this holding out forever.
Well, the bottom's got to fall out eventually.
No, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, it's been 100 years of slow degradation, like the value of the money. We've lost the value of the money in the last 100 years. You know, what'll it be? Will it take another 100 years and we'll just be twice as bad off as we are now?
I think we were better off before the Federal Reserve. A lot better. Whatever money was yours, it was yours. You worked for it. That's it. But now that we had gone to this tax scam, we're basically lowered our standard of living. Can you imagine that, having, not paying any taxes and you keeping your paycheck? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
We'd be well off. For sure.
Yeah, usually that's only elected officials, or you have to have the right position to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Well, the, apparently the Greek banks are going to reopen, but the government will put daily limit withdrawals.
Ah. Didn't but it might be more before? Than the, what was it, 60 euros or something?
Okay, so a daily limit. Most capital controls concerning withdrawals and money transfers will remain. And while the daily limit was held at 60 euros, a cumulative limit of 420 euros a week was set. It said lenders will reopen a week after TISPRAS and creditors agreed to a bailout program. Greek lawmakers approved legislation needed to release funding for the country. So apparently it's a 3-year rescue program worth as much as 86 billion euros.
Well, yeah, that's the, well, they call it a surrender on some sites.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no solution here. I mean, they're screwed if they leave, but with staying, they're screwed. They're just postponing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they're just postponing being screwed later, until later.
Yeah, but they're still screwed, like, somewhat. They're gonna have to take a haircut, so they're still screwed. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It, to me, there's no way out of this.
Yeah. It's like there's no exit from the euro either, because, they would have been the first one if they had gotten out.
You know, the only way I could see a country getting out of this kind of mess is they gotta be basically self-sufficient in terms of, agriculture and natural resources, fuel, energy. If they're self-sufficient in those cases and they're able to produce stuff, like produce physical items, whether it's manufacturing or just, natural resources, whatever. And then they can afford to be, you know, isolated from the rest of Europe. But I don't think Greece is in that position. So if they were to leave the Eurozone, they're still, their dollar's gonna collapse and they're screwed because, you know, they don't have enough stuff to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's where they were heightening up the Cold War with Russia, cause the leader had met with Putin.
Right, so I don't know. I think they're a bit better off to exit the Eurozone and cut ties with the central bankers. None of those countries should have, you know, had any ties with the central bankers in the first place. It's economic slavery. You're selling your people off to, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think all countries on this planet should be self-sufficient. We cut ties with the New World Order and the central bank. We'd be better off.
Greece's leaders and our leaders in Kanatistan and America and all around the world have basically took out a bunch of credit cards borrowing against their economic slaves of their country. Cause that's all they think of us as, a bunch of economic debt slaves. And they're like, they're going to the central bankers going, hey, can I get another credit card? You know, and borrow it against my economic debt slaves. And that's all it is. And the bankers, each time they go back, the bankers go, okay, here you go. And they raise the interest rate a little bit, you know? Or the interest rates go up after the S&P, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch ratings, you know, complete nonsense, degrade your country's credit score.
Yeah. I used to have a credit card, but a long time ago, back in the late 80s, 88, 89 or whatever. But after that, no. It's so easy to get in debt, and you know, as a lady I was with at the time, we you know, spent it on this, that, and the other thing, and there was $2,000 bill, right? And we paid, but the interest was, at least it was $500 worth of interest, but we paid off the main debt, and they just came back and said, "Don't worry about the debt part, you're okay. Don't worry about it." So we were off the hook for paying the extra $500. Which, that was nice of them to do. That was back in the late 80s, so times have changed.
Well, I mean, if you just follow the government's example, everyone should just get out get a starter credit card if they don't have a credit card, max it out, don't pay for a while. And then when it starts getting, on the brink where, okay, I got to make a payment, just go apply for another credit card and then use that second credit card to start paying down the first one, and then go get a third and a fourth one and start paying, successively paying credit card off with other credit cards until you got 100 different credit cards paying each other's off. And then eventually you're $1 million in debt and you don't even have anything to show for it.
That's why sometimes I go to a checkout in an A&A store, try not to be nosy, but sometimes people are opening their wallets. They got no cash, but all they got is debits and credit cards.
Well, here's the thing. What I described is economic suicide, and it is ludicrous, and no single person that I know of would really engage in that. And anyone that does knows they're throwing their credit in the garbage eventually, and it's economic suicide. But typically people don't do that. They know it's retarded. So why does the government do this? Because that's exactly what the government's been doing for decades.
Or if you want to purchase something and then they come and say, well, you need a credit check. What difference does it make? I got money. I got cash here. I want to pay, I want to pay for this kind of thing. But no, you got to have a credit check before you can purchase anything.
Like they want a credit? Where was this?
Well, I mean, just in general, if you wanted to purchase, let's say, an appliance or something like that, and you didn't have a credit card, but they always want, well, we need a credit check. We want to check your credit to see if you're able to buy this.
The fire department commander.
Anyway, we got to break that one up, guys.
Be able to contain the fire.
Angry people radio.
Terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. They made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably.
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs.
And now it's time for comments from our listeners.
Tom writes, wrote to Vince F. and Friday co-hosted Bunker Show on TFR has been removed for blame bash the Jews rhetoric at TSL. Aaron's Truth Traveler has been banned months ago at TSL due to the type of insidious programming. Clear violation of TSL guidelines. Sounds like Rents and Old Oracle Hate Radio. This will doom you and discredit all of your good efforts.
Dear Tom, thank you for your insightful email. We are a 100% free speech and uncensored station. We do not dictate content or place restrictions upon our hosts. Our format may be a bit extreme, but we are listener-supported, therefore we don't have to impress any sponsors. Thank you for your email. P.S. What is TSL?
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Forest Service spokeswoman Carol Underhill says a wildfire that swept across a busy California freeway has calmed down some, but it's still a pretty dangerous situation.
The North Fire is 3,500 acres confirmed, 5% contained. The evacuations that occurred last night in the community of Baldy Mesa are still in effect. The 15 freeway has been reopened.
The fire destroyed 20 vehicles in the freeway before burning 3 homes and 44 more vehicles. U.S. Forest Service says crews will focus today on protecting some 700 homes in the area. Already about 2,800 people have been evacuated. Also at SRNNews.com, the 2015 Family Leadership Summit is in Iowa this weekend, and it's attracting a number of GOP presidential hopefuls to the podium. Iran, a major speaking point. Dr. Ben Carson, who says he would be much more aggressive fighting the Islamic State group than others.
We can sit here, ignore them, bomb the desert, and think that we're doing something. But we can destroy them first, and I choose the latter.
Senator Marco Rubio says he's against the deal the U.S. signed with Iran, in part because the clause that says the U.S. has to help fight against sabotage to Iran's nuclear program.
Well, the only people that are trying to sabotage it are our allies. So for the first time in a long time or in American history, we are now required to work against countries like Israel on behalf of Iran.
Others attending include Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, and Bobby Jindal. A former top FIFA official due in court this afternoon in New York to face racketeering and bribery charges in a corruption case that has sent shockwaves through the soccer world. Jeffrey Webb is one of seven officials accused of plotting to pay bribes tied to broadcasting and hosting rights for the World Cup and other tournaments that FIFA sponsors. Florida Senator, Florida Governor, that is, Rick Scott, ordering Florida National Guard recruiters to work from nearby armories. This is SRN News.
Wherever you are, make it Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, broadcasting live on truthfrequencyradio.com. Every Saturday here, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, that would be noon Pacific Time. I'm not sure what time it's on in Newfoundland. But anyways, what do we got here? We're talking about the Greece bailout and the economy and the... I mean, all this is orchestrated. None of this is, you know, to me, none of this is accidental. The bankers got the Greece people right where they want them. And, you know, one of the other European countries is going to be next in their sights, odds are. Just like the last time, the last round of bailouts. So, I don't know.
Well, isn't that what Obama did when he first became president? The first thing he did was bail out the big banks. First thing he did.
And now what we seem to be seeing with Greece is like a bailout slash bail-in. Remember the bail-in in Cyprus? Where they froze the accounts and then started taking like 10, 20% of deposits. I can't remember the exact number, but it was called a bail-in. And then what we saw in the following year in the Canadian and American budgets was bail-in language in the budget legislation.
Yeah, it's the Cyprus model. That's why it's like a test case for
it's the Cyprus model. So here's the thing. What we seem to be seeing in Greece here, I could be wrong, but what it looks like to me is we got a bailout slash bail-in. It's a twofer. So they're saying, well, you guys need a bailout, so we'll bail you out, but we're going to have to bail in to your bank accounts and freeze your accounts and take so much percentage of deposits. So we seem to be having like a quasi bailout slash bail-in. So it's a double screw job. And, you know, the unemployment rate in Greece is quite high. You know, a lot of them may be screaming for benefits and that, this and that. A lot of people say, you know, they're socialists, whatever. And I can understand how that can be hard on an economy. But the problem is a lot of this debt that they're signed on to is based on fraud. In my view, many of the countries are signed on to these huge debts with the central banks. It's based on fraud. So if it's fraud and you can get it ruled to be fraud, then you don't owe it. All I see we owe is the principal. Here in Canada, we don't know a trillion. We owe 20, maybe $30 billion. The rest is fraud. Okay? If it's fraud, then we don't owe it. Figure that one. So, you know, but again, I mean, you know, Greek's economy is not good in terms of production. They need to step up their production and, you know.
I want to be able to go to a store and say, buy something made in Greece.
Yeah, but it's like that everywhere. Everywhere's producing is going down. Even places like China.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're running out of consumers. People can't even afford to. They go to Walmart or these cheap places and they're just buying the necessities. They're not even buying the junk, like the trinkets and the other stuff. They're buying the cheapest food they can find and maybe the cheapest clothes they can find because they wore their old clothes out. They're not going out and buying all the junk that they used to buy. So even manufacturing hubs that we lost all our jobs to, they're even slowing down. Walmart's numbers have taken a hit. You know, even in the fast food world, you got McDonald's is way down. What are they supposed to be closing, like 700 stores in the United States?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the ones that are not doing so well, but they're going to keep the ones that are doing half decent. But now they're having meetings. Now considering the beef. So what they're doing is they're phasing out the use of antibiotics and hormones in the beef. That's what they're doing right now. Because I was talking to my the store manager there, and we were talking about that, and I said, well, they got a long way to go. And she says, well, I can't do anything because she's just a store manager, right? It's up to head office to do that kind of stuff, so.
I think their problem is they rely on a specific taste. Like a lot of the big fast food chains, they have a certain taste, and that's the same taste. You get the same taste everywhere you go. Now, the minute they change the formula of their meat, it's going to change the taste of the burger.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's a big gamble. So it's kind of like, yeah, you got everyone addicted, but what the heck is this thing?
If they're going to improve the food, so to speak, they're going to have to jack up the prices as well.
But it's the same thing with the other fast food burger places. You got McDonald's and Wendy or Burger King and Wendy's and all these Harvey's and that stuff. None of those burgers taste like ground beef. None of them. You ever made ground beef? You get some beef, you grind it up, make it into a patty, or you buy some ground beef, you make a patty, throw it on the grill, you eat it. Okay. You could add some spices or that, but there's no way. It's not even the same texture. It's nowhere even close to the same taste. So if any of these big fast food chains just go to like real ground beef, it's going to completely change the taste of their burger. In some cases for the better, but people who are addicted to that name brand are not going to be able to get their fix anymore. So it could affect their bottom line because they're relying on those addicts, right?
But what ingredients is in there to make it where you get that craving, addiction?
Well, I don't even know if it's an addictive ingredient, but it just has a certain flavor that people like, and they're able. It's a consistent flavor that they get every time.
MSG.
No regular handmade hamburger with regular ground beef tastes like any of these burgers. It doesn't taste like a Harvey's burger or a Wendy's or a Burger King or a McDonald's. All those burgers don't taste, they're foreign. It tastes like foreign meat. It doesn't taste like regular ground beef. None of it does. Not anywhere close. And the texture is completely different. And same with most of the, store-bought burgers that you get frozen in the patties. Completely different texture from ground beef. Doesn't taste like ground beef. So, I mean, what are we even eating?
See, when you look at when the beef comes in a box, right, and it's wrapped up in plastic inside, but if you leave it sitting out, they're all red in the beginning. They're all red, but when you leave it, when they start thawing out, then they start to go brown. So they put color in the beef. Beef is not supposed to be a red color, right? It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be brown in general. But they put food color in there. Plus, then they I don't know if they do it here in Canada, but probably in the States or wherever they put the beef in ammonia. That's supposedly to kill the bacteria.
Right.
But I don't think all of the ammonia is going to get out because then they got to wash it down and all. They got to do so many things at the processing plant. But my boss considers fast food or processed food is actually good for you. That's what he said.
I'm just skeptical. I mean, because it's, you know, with the burger thing, I don't even know what most of the burgers are made of, okay? You can read the ingredients. I don't know how it's made. None of them have the same texture as ground beef, and none of them taste like ground beef.
It's regular beef. That's what it is. Well, usually you get your different type of.
Well, it's got to be. It's processed with something and a bunch of spices or some kind of flavoring.
Well, it says on the box 100% Canadian beef, and what it says that they do is they put their own spices on it. That's what, that's why when I look at them on the grill, they're putting on the beef, they just put some spices on the patties after it's been cooked. And they just put it in a holder and whoever wants to order it can order it.
Yeah, like, I mean, they can advertise, you know, it's like A&W or any of these, some of these other guys. They're, hey, we got no hormones or steroids in our beef. When I go get a burger and it's like, what is this? This is beef?
Well, before I've eaten in the AMW and you could taste the difference.
You could taste the difference, but it's not the texture of a yeah. beef patty. It's some kind of whatever meat they use, probably beef, and they mixed it up with a bunch into a sledge paste with a bunch of crap, and then they, you know, it's similar to the gross processed chicken snakes. When they cut those into patties, it's a similar process.
A bit of soylent.
It's not ground beef. That's my thing. I come out with ground beef patties. They taste awesome. Even if they did have, even if they had steroids and hormones in them, they'd still taste awesome because it's good. It's regular ground beef with none of this, not a bunch of blended soylent beef. I don't want soylent burgers. That's soylent beef burger. That's what I call them because it's like, it's all just a bunch of blended paste with crap in it, and then it's frozen and chopped into things. It's ridiculous. I just want a beef burger that tastes like beef with no crap, and it's got to have the texture of beef. Even the burgers that are some of the better tasting ones, it doesn't have the texture of ground beef. It's like, what the hell is this?
You'd want 100% pure.
I don't know. I prefer a handmade, homemade burger made out of actual ground beef. And it's got the texture of ground beef. And yeah, maybe it doesn't have all the spices and flavorings, but I think it tastes better. And at least I know what I'm eating. Whereas, you know, all these patties, you know, I'll have one if I'm starving or something, but I just really don't know what the hell I'm eating. That's my issue. So when these fast food companies, oh, I'm going to go hormone free or steroid free. That's not my issue. That's not going to sell me. Give me a real burger. You want me to be a customer of yours? Give me the choice, sell a real burger. I'll buy it.
Right, cause you know what a real burger looks like.
Yeah, so I mean, and I'm not saying to get rid of their old line. Maybe just come out with a new one, like old school, homemade. You know? Just add one more burger to the lineup, an old school homemade one. You know, a place like McDonald's or Burger King, it's too risky to make that big of a flavor change. So you just bring it in like as a specialty kind of deal.
They used to have the lean ground, beef burgers, but they didn't sell.
Right.
Right. Yeah. They used to have that, but they didn't sell. They stopped, years ago.
No, but even the higher end places like, Licks Burgers you got.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's the same deal. It's like this processed junk burger. I don't like, you know, it's, to me, it's a cheap frozen burger. You know, they're worth like, you know, 10, 15 cents a pop.
Or just go to M&M meat shops. Pick up something there.
Get some buffalo burgers.
Buffalo burgers, yeah.
I don't know.
Mixed it up with your horse burgers. Have a double burger.
Buffalo burgers are quite the hit up north. There's some game farms up there, and I have had a buffalo meat once, and it was a lot tastier than the burgers I had. But, I mean, the burgers we had, again, it's not real, real deal.
Aren't they trying to push some kind of red algae now? They say it tastes like bacon.
Red algae that tastes like bacon. No, I haven't heard of this.
So we'll look out for it because they're trying to push it on.
Good news for the Jews and the Muslims.
Yeah.
It's, I can't believe it's not bacon, but it tastes like bacon and it's kosher. Kosher, red algae bacon.
Probably right out of the Pacific.
You sell like bottles of it and you like to the Jews and the Muslims are just guzzling it back. Yes.
Fukushima burgers.
Can't believe it's not bacon.
I don't know. It's always a joke because we had some Jewish friends in the city and we would always joke about eating pork and bacon and sneaking it. And a lot of times they would sneak it. I'm not supposed to eat it. They'd come over to our place or one of their other friends' place that, you know, not Jewish and eat all the bacon. And same with some of the Muslim people we knew. Same deal. We're not supposed to eat the pork. Okay, here. You want a beer? Have a beer. Here's some ham. Have some bacon.
The beer is made with good spring water.
And that's the thing. I mean, the average, you know, religious person is usually pretty moderate. It's just when you get the extremists that are running around cutting people's heads off, it's a little extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't most beer made with GMO too? GMO,
they have some organic beer.
Yeah.
They got, a little more expensive, but it's a lot better.
Yeah, you gotta look out for those because the other, some of the other ingredients are some of the most GMO'd. Yeah.
I would also argue that, I mean, there's probably a lot of food companies and stuff that as things switched over, as crops switched over to GMO, a lot of them probably unknowingly were using these GMO ingredients. Some of them still may be unknowingly using them because they're just, they didn't know that, you know, hey, that most of this crop is GMO now. Oh, really? But we use that in our, we use that stuff in our, you know, chocolate bars or our, you know, granola bars or whatever it is. And for all we know, the company doesn't even know that it's using it. So, because it's so prevalent. You look at the ingredients that, you know, how many products have corn in it? Or soy? Or, you know?
Well, let's say if you're feeding your cows, corn, they should be grass fed, not corn fed. If you're going to feed them corn, you're going to have problems with the beef eventually.
Well, and that's the problem with this idea of grain fed. Because, what does that include? Corn.
Exactly.
So they know that corn fed has become a bad word among health nuts, so they switch it to grain fed. And that could be any one of the grains, including corn.
So you don't like eating corn on the cob?
It's tasty, but I try to avoid it just because I used to grow corn and, I understand how it cross pollinates and how to make hybrid corn, how to take one variety of corn and genetically, you know, mate them to have, hybrid offspring.
Yeah.
And, because of the genetically modified crops, they cross pollinate the same way. So you can, you know, basically just, it's a thing that can cross contaminate. So you have all these GMO crops and it turns the regular organic crops, well, their offspring become GMO. And then you could be sued for copyright or patent for patent.
Or a hybrid crop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Monsanto can come and sue you because of patent infringement. So
yeah,
it's ridiculous. And I mean, you got all these people been running around saying, oh, GMOs are safe. They feed the world and blah, blah, blah. You people don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, you know, they're all your anti-science, anti-GMO crowd. And it's like, well, wait a second. There's science that proves that this stuff is dangerous. What about all these lab rats in France that had tumors the size of themselves?
Like those
cats are all over the place. I mean, that shows that it does bad damage. I'm not saying that all GMOs do that kind of damage, but that particular GMO did that damage in a controlled study to these lab rats. This isn't a consensus, okay? You know, it's a difference between consensus and science. They did a science project, a science experiment on these rats. They gave it the GMOs, and then they developed these massive tumors. And these other rats, well, they didn't develop anything. They were eating the non-GMOs. And they showed. They didn't just pay a bunch of scientists to agree that this is the truth with no evidence. That's consensus. Okay, so Syngenta and Monsanto, they pay off a bunch of scientists to form a consensus that their product is safe with zero proof. And they call, you know, people who are showing the science, they're calling people showing the science, they're calling them anti-science. And we have the proof. We're showing you scientists that have studies documented showing damage caused by certain GMOs. And I'm not saying all GMOs are bad or all GMOs will cause this kind of damage. It's a case by case thing. You can't compare rice to tomatoes to corn or, you know, just say they find that the GMO soy is not good for you. That doesn't mean necessarily that this other type of crop is bad for you. It's a case by case. You can't just paint everything with a broad brush. But I do think it's dangerous to be playing God here and implementing these things into the environment without knowing the consequences, though.
I want to ask you guys, do you think being vegan or vegetarian is a unhealthy lifestyle?
I don't really know. I mean, I've tried using, you know, supplementing protein. I have a hard time getting enough protein out of a vegan diet myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's not according to Vegan Gains. There's a YouTuber, Vegan Gains, who's like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, no, I've seen these bodybuilders and these vegans that can do it, but I do physical work and construction, and I've tried just, you know, nuts and beans and all these high protein stuff that isn't meat, and it's tough. I mean, unless I use dairy and fish, you know, that then it's, you know, if I have an exception for dairy and fish, then I can get my protein in, but, I know bodybuilders that are vegan, they can absorb the nuts and the beans. My stomach doesn't absorb it. Like it passes right through and you can see the nuts in my crap. Not to be graphic, but my stomach doesn't absorb the protein very well.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, my boss says, oh, being vegan is, it's an unhealthy lifestyle.
And I think it depends on the body, really.
But I think he's just trying to, say that just, you know, guess, he runs a restaurant, stuff like that, so he's just more or less promoting fast food as the healthy lifestyle.
That's what it's become.
Exactly. So I disagree with him. I agree with him on a lot of things, but this here I have to disagree with him on that. I want to see proof that being vegan is going to – like Mark and I have a friend who's vegan, and he has all the energy in the world. He goes to the gym all the time and he's fine. He has a normal life. So, but maybe veganism is not for everybody. Maybe most people want to just eat meat. You know.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with digestive tract and how well you're able to digest. For me, anyway, it has a lot to do with my digestive tract. I haven't found anything high in protein that I'm really absorbing. I get too weak and winded. If I just eat vegetables and try to get protein out of vegetables.
Yeah. Well, even my, like, vegetables, they're okay, but if you incorporate, like, fruits.
Yeah, but I mean, that's more sugary stuff. I'm talking protein is the main thing.
Yeah. Well, there's certain fruits that you get more protein than others, you know. Apples and oranges have protein, but very low volumes of it. But at least if you go home and have a fruit salad, a big bowl of fruit salad, mm-hmm. with potato as well, and you can add a little bit of chicken if you want. It's up to you. If not, then you don't have to have a big bowl of fruits and stuff like that in there.
Well, I mean, they they find dairy is a good source of protein that's highly absorbable. But there's side effects to dairy. Some people are lactose intolerant and they can't even have dairy. Other people, you know, have mild side effects to dairy that they don't even know that is dairy causing it. Skin problems, that kind of thing. So yeah, you might get some protein uptake, but you could have some bad skin blemishes or something like this. And then some people are fine with dairy.
Yeah, for me, I don't drink dairy anymore. That's just by choice. I drank dairy before and I seem to be okay with it, but yeah. I just choose not to for respect to the, respect for the animal type thing.
And that's what I mean. Everyone's bodies are different. Like fish is another highly absorbable, source of protein because the meat is very soft and flaky. And your stomach digests that a lot easier. You're not passing it through as a solid fish again. Like, you know, if you eat a bunch of peanuts, they come back out as peanuts, pretty much. And that's the problem. They're high in protein, but you're not actually absorbing a lot. So something like fish, but see, there's people with allergies to fish, and then there's people that just don't like fish. And you know, like you can't
make. And the mercury.
You can't make every, yeah, and then there's, depending on where you catch it, right? Or if you're fishing off the coast of Fukushima, you know, there's side effects to that too, probably. So
those could be extra large.
Yeah.
So I mean, when it comes to food, I think we, you know, people's bodies are somewhat different and vary depending on allergies and stuff. So I think it's kind of their body, their decision. But when it comes to like the meat and the farming of animals, there's some questionable practices going on with major corporations and in certain countries on how the animals are treated and how the life of the animal. So. But then again, you see that and it's a big contrast to where you go off to some little homestead farm out in the country where the animals, you meet all the animals at the farm and they're happy as can be, and they got all this space to run around in. So, I mean, that's a lot different than the factory farms where all this abuse is going on.
Well, what about the fur farms? Because there's a word that the mink are on the loose. There's a mink that were released.
Yeah, there was a bunch of, I guess there was a fur farm, where it was somewhere in Canada here, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Ontario.
In Ontario, and there was broken into by some animal rights activists to let them loose. So, I mean, I don't know. Is this a mink farm, so they raise these mink?
Yeah, that's what they're warning about, is that the mink won't know what to do in the wild, but then the activists say that they know right away.
Well, not if they're domesticated. They won't.
Like we are.
If they're domesticated, it's not fair to let the animal go. And it's so that's why it's, you know, most of the wild animals, it's not fair to domesticate them.
These are the liberation movements.
But I mean, here's the thing. If there's a demand for mink, and people are going to get mink irregardless, is it more responsible to farm mink than it is to just take all the mink out of the forest, where to the point where the mink go extinct or there's next to none? So, I mean, like, a lot of these animal rights people, they gotta have, you know, I can understand if there's, like, inhumane practices when it comes to the mink farming. I can understand aspects of that, possibly. Or same with fish farming. Like, okay, we're depleting the oceans, and, you know, the Pacific seems to be becoming contaminated and dying because of Fukushima. But you're depleting the oceans of fish. Well, the next logical step is to fish farm. And let the oceans regenerate. To me, so I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to be more realistic about it, because no matter what you do, there's always going to be people up north, like natives and other people that live off the land. They're going to hunt mink. They're going to hunt beavers. They're going to hunt, you know, ooh, they're going to hunt beavers. I don't think we're ever going to be able to stop them from doing that. So. Allowing them to farm is one way to keep the populations up.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations.
There he is, W. Bush.
A new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Enemy Within Radio on truthfrequencyradio.com. Tackling the subjects mainstream media does not touch. Behind the curtain conspiracies of the elites, controversial science and research, and delving into the paranormal. Enemy Within is a truly interactive show. Join us in the chat room on Truth Frequency Radio and add to the conversation on it. Challenging the narrative with debate and new perspectives. It's time to lift the lid on what's hidden in plain sight.
A Florida police officer is being lauded for going above and beyond to help a mentally disabled man whose bike was stolen.
Guy Sloban has been riding his bike to the Winn-Dixie supermarket in St. Petersburg, where he bags groceries, since 2006. He was devastated when his bike was stolen about 2 weeks ago. St. Petersburg police officer Michael Romato responded to the theft, picked up the 41-year-old Sloban, brought him a slice of pizza, and drove him to work. Romato told his partner, Officer Jeffrey Nichols, and the two went to the store where Nichols bought a new bike and lock for Sloban. Patrick Frost, SRN News.
A new high-tech interactive exhibition about the future of flight opening soon at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. Above and Beyond opens August 1st, runs until January. Then it will begin a worldwide tour through the year 2020. Stops include Tokyo and other parts of Asia. This is SRN News. British tabloids published images of a young Queen Elizabeth II performing a Nazi salute with her family in 1933, the year that Adolf Hitler came to power. SRN's Bob Agnew has more.
Buckingham Palace has expressed its disappointment over the images which appeared on the Sun newspaper website. They show the Queen, then about seven, at the family home with her uncle, mother, and sister. Appearing under the headline, Their Royal Highness, the grainy images also show Elizabeth's mother making the salute as the family laughs. Military historian James Holland explained to the Sun that the royals were joking, saying all British children in those days probably performed a mock Nazi salute as what he calls a bit of lark. Bob Agnew, SRN News.
Fire officials in California say drones above a fast-moving wildfire forced the diversion of firefighting aircraft. U.S. Forest Service say it's the fourth time in a span of a month that a drone's disrupted efforts. More details at srnnews.com.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, Tuesday and Thursday on Truth Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it was a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. We still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, broadcasting live out of Mother Kanatistan, live from the Scam-Am Games. Now, I've got this opinion piece here from the Vancouver Sun. Opinion, trade deal would be a boost for BC Canada. It's fair to expect everything to be on the table for discussion, by John Garson, special to the Vancouver Sun. With summer among us, things are heating up, and it's not only the weather. One thing that would be nice to keep from becoming overheated is the rhetoric around the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Okay, guys, keep down the rhetoric over, keep the heat down on the rhetoric on the TPP. A trade deal comprised of 12 Asia-Pacific nations, including Canada, U.S., and Japan. The TPP has been in the news recently, and when it comes to this agreement, Canada can't afford to be left behind. As Canada negotiates with the 11 other countries, it is fair and necessary to expect everything to be on the table for discussion. There can be no sacred cows. There is no doubt the Canadian government will strive for a deal in our best interest.
Oh, jeez.
That looks to generate everything we want while surrendering as little as possible. But the true test of a successful agreement is whether it makes the whole country or the whole economy stronger. The BC Chamber of Commerce is realistic that negotiations are about to give and take, and that could mean supply management, log exports, or any other BC Canadian interest could be offered for greater benefit of all BC and Canadian businesses. If moving on one of our interests yields us a better deal on accessing something such as procurement contracts in the U.S. or Japan, it is incumbent on the government to make the decision in the broader interest rather than protect the vested interests or specific sectors. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. The article goes on further here, but there's no point. I've been reading this sarcastically the whole time. It is completely absurd. It is an opinion piece based on a document that he has no access to. There's no Trans-Pacific Partnership agreement that the public can read.
So, well, you gotta pass it before you can see what's in it.
Yeah. And how did the previous free trade deals go? were they prosperous for the nations involved? No. They were prosperous for the corporations involved that were playing the economies off against each other to milk more money out of this sacred cow. And that's all that they're going to do in this. I can bet your bottom dollar, because this is what they do. So you've got Japan, U.S., Canada, Australia, these are the countries that stand to lose. The other countries are third world countries. Do you want to engage in free trade with other third world countries? It stands to hurt China because they're the main provider of manufacturing right now. It probably stands to hurt China the most. But we will lose more jobs to third world countries, and China will have more competition. That's all this appears to be. There's going to be a lot more strings attached, but we won't know until after it comes out. But this guy's delusions that it's going to be a good deal and beneficial to Canadians and BC, I mean, to me, but it's an opinion piece, so I can't blame him too much, but it's just delusional. It's just, you know, you might as well wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which one gets filled first.
Well, guess what, guys? Have you heard about the buildup of military in Europe of 30 countries doing military exercises? There's going to be, 36,000 troops involved in that military exercise in Europe.
Like a JTELM of Europe.
Could be. And I think something is going to be set up.
Probably all surrounding Ukraine, maybe.
Could be. I don't know if I'm going out on a limb with saying a World War III is going to start, if not started already. Something's happening, and we're getting prepared for a false flag, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's going on with all this Operation Jade Helm hype, because the majority of the, not all the news, but a lot of the news on it hyping this has been a bunch of bunk nonsense. Not saying that there is no Operation Jade Helm. I'm just saying that there's just complete nonsense, fraudulent news stories that are concocted. You know, when they're circulating 20-year-old pictures of UN vehicles saying, we see them, they're on the move, it's Jade Helm. And it's like, you right-click the image and Google search the image and you're like, well, this image is 15 years old. This is concocted nonsense, you know. This is, you know, I hate to say it, this is Dabu 7, you know, conspiracy nonsense. What's the motive? I don't know. But all this, I mean, it doesn't do anything. Yes, there is an Operation Jade Helm. Should we pay attention to it? It's worth noting. It's worth looking into, okay, what's this about? But it doesn't do us any good to fabricate a bunch of BS about it.
It's about mastering the human domain.
Well, I don't understand this section of the supposed alternative media that just runs around fabricating stuff. Like, literally, just grabbing 10, 15-year-old pictures of military vehicles and saying, well, this is from the Jade Helm. Oh, look out. It's martial law. Blah, blah, blah. Fear porn. And then you research. And the problem with this Operation Jade Helm is like 60, 70, 80% even of it is fabricated BS. And it's like, you know, why? Who's doing it? You know, why are they doing it? I don't get it.
Well, maybe it's 85% fabricated by the mainstream media, but if you go to a independent website or whatever, maybe it...
No, I'm talking about the independent websites, the mainstream media. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the mainstream media. I'm talking about the alternative media. They're fabricating... Most of it's fabricated nonsense. So, you know, I don't understand the reasoning for it and what the motivation behind it is.
Maybe the...
Well, you always got to build up the fear factor. In the conspiracy world.
Yeah.
No, basically the martial law is imminent.
No, and I'm not saying every report on Jade Helm is fraudulent or fake. I'm just saying there's a good chunk of them that have turned out to be complete hoaxes. When the bloody article's using a picture from 10 or 15 years ago saying that, oh, this is from today or this is from this week. They're on the move in this state. They're on the move in that state. Really? I right click the image on your article and it goes, it's 12 years old. From a completely different article. It's the exact same picture. This is not a picture of them on the move. This is
Behold the Pale Horse. The book came out in the early 90s. The William Cooper book.
Right.
And basically in that book, he pretty much describes what it would be like if the martial law sets in North America. But you know, that's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, whatever martial law there is in our country is only sporadic. This country is not completely covered with it, but there is elements of martial law when they have a big event like the G20 or whatever like that.
Yeah.
That's just getting us prepared for it.
Yeah, and once you see the former police chief of police who ran the security at the G20 is now running for the Liberals. It gets you thinking.
Yeah, in with the old, out with the old, and in with the old.
Bill Blair.
Yeah. He's not going to be any different doing what he's doing than he did as being a police chief.
Yeah. But who knows who his advisors are, because this week was the Grand Lodge of Ontario in the province of Canada, I guess, or they're named something like that, the Freemason big convention they have down at the Royal York Hotel.
Right.
So you know, remember Raoul, who had met up with us at the Toronto Free Seekers?
Right.
He asked me to come down and film some videos, like we just interviewed a few of the Freemasons in the lobby and stuff.
Right.
And they were actually waiting. I saw a bit of the end of the votes, which was I was surprised at that, because it's almost basically anyone could go in, because I was in there. I'm like wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
All these guys are in suits, and I just like watch them as they're voting for their new officers. So that part, but like I had I wasn't necessarily like trying to sneak in or anything, because I was with Raoul. So like he's like definitely a Freemason that invited me there, but. Still, I think anyone could have actually gone in. So I was surprised that a secret society would be open like this. But then after the voting, they were waiting for I guess they have a big dinner, and they have a speaker every year.
Right.
And this year was actually Chief Blair.
Really?
Or Bill Blair, former chief of Toronto Police, current Liberal candidate. They said one thing, they said two things were weird about it. One, they said that Bill Blair wasn't a Mason himself, but that the outgoing Grand Master was one of the police captains or something. So they said that's how they thought that Blair was arranged as a speaker.
Right.
But the other one that they said was weird was that usually they like to keep the politics out of it, but that he's like an actual candidate. So it's almost like a campaign event, but I guess the campaigns are still getting in swing, but that, the only thing I haven't been able to confirm is if he's a Mason or not. So next time I talk to Raoul and those guys, I got to ask him if he mentioned it during the speech.
So the former police chief of Toronto, Bill Blair, who was the chief under the, during the G20 summit where they had the police officers throw their badges on the ground and attack innocent protesters, innocent Canadian taxpayers. In a violent attack that was against the law and, could possibly be argued as being treasonous. And this was the guy in command at the time, Bill Blair, who has now moved on to be part of the Liberal Party, a candidate for the Liberal Party. And, you know, how liberal of him. He orders his goon squad to attack the Canadian people.
Yeah. So they'll probably make him justice minister or something.
Corporal, they'll make him corporal punishment, they'll make him.
Yeah. Corporal, yeah, they have a minister of corrections in prisons and,
I'm Bill Blair, I'm running for corporal punishment of Canada. I'll beat your kids. Beat your wife. I'm Bill Blair, I'll beat anyone in your family. Send the goon squad in, beat them boys. Did they break the law? No, who cares? Just throw your badges on the ground. Who cares if it's treason? You know, you tell your goon squad to throw their badges on the ground, engage in treason, and then assault innocent Canadian people. And what do you get? Well, you don't get charged. You get a position in politics.
Yeah, and a high award from the Governor General.
And the Liberals are so liberal and caring about your rights. That's why they'd hire head of the Nazi goon squad to run for them.
Yeah,
I guess because Adolf Hitler was – they couldn't find him. Adolf Hitler was busy.
Yeah, I think he's out in Argentina, isn't he?
Yeah, that's where he went after the war.
Yeah, Hitler didn't want to come out of retirement, so they said, okay, we'll get Bill Blair to run.
There's other theories, though, that he went to Ethiopia or, or that he was actually killed, but they preserved his brain, and they so now he's like plugged into a computer or something.
Well, we got the bum end of the deal because, you know, we got Bill stuck with Beryl Square.
They made a brain transplant.
Yeah, exactly. So he could still be a younger version right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Fourth Reich, and then the election, though, is only a few months away, really. And how much campaigning do you really see?
Not too much at all.
It's like pretty much Phil Ryerson is doing more campaigning on the show last week than you're seeing from the candidates.
Well,
but who do they have? Even in the U.S., who do they got? Some people say, well, I talked to some people, and they say about Trump, no, he'd be no good and all this kind of stuff. I want to see Hillary get in there. So, Excuse me. She's not going to get in, and she's in, but she's not going to win, put it that way. It's going to be a Bush in the White House. Forget about all these other people. It's going to be a Bush, and that's it. Take it or leave it.
But it's probably not going to be Bush Sr. because he's got a broken neck, they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah. He's still alive and still kicking. That's the thing.
Yeah. They say he's just got a neck brace.
Yeah.
You know who's going to win the U.S. election?
Who?
A Goldman Sachs representative.
Okay.
A representative of the military industrial complex is going to win the U.S. federal election.
They'll be full funded.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't matter. They don't care. It doesn't even matter. And that's what I don't even understand election rigging. I know it goes on, and I'm like, well, the parties engaged in it are both paid off by the same interests. So at the end of the day, their interests are taken care of, but I don't know. I guess, is it for bragging rights or maybe money? Whoever wins gets more money during that term. Maybe that's what it is. But we've seen election rigging, and we've seen where it really didn't matter one way or the other.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's rigged or not. The same people are getting in.
Yeah, and they're going to sell you down the river, down to the people that put them in office.
There is a movement to elect El Chapo. That's grown.
El Chapo, that's the guy that, didn't he make threats against Trump?
Yeah, he's a Mexican cartel leader.
El Chapo.
I don't know what his cartel is, but they say he's like a billionaire. So he's on Donald Trump's level.
Oh, the Frio de Bandido.
I wonder if he looks like the bad guy from the Three Amigos. Send in Martin Short and Steve Martin on there and Chevy Chase to go take care of El Chapo.
Because basically if Donald Trump was to, if they were somehow to get in, like some crazy stuff happens or they rig the votes, then he could be used for, if they want to do like a war with Mexico, probably just because he could heighten the racial tension or whatever.
Well, the issue that I've seen with illegal immigration, the biggest issue is with the drug cartels, the ones that are I'm not talking about people that just randomly run across the border. I'm talking about when the drug cartels are getting these people across the border and then they have to be drug mules for a number of years. Many of these drug cartels have murdered people in the, you know, right on the border there.
Or the leader there that, escaped through a tunnel.
Yeah, that's El Chapo, yeah.
That's El Chapo?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's, you know, anytime there's violence or death, that's not a good thing. And it is an issue that needs to be addressed. And I don't know. They just, if you talk about it, oh, you hate Mexicans, you're a racist. It's like, wait a second. How many Mexicans have been killed by drug cartels? And these Mexicans that are coming over, they're not the drug cartel. They just want a better life. So.
Yeah, trying to escape. It's like a refugee because basically it's a drug war.
Yeah, and the cartels are making money off it, so they don't want the gravy train to stop.
Yeah, and it's really hard to choose a side. There's a good documentary out. I think it won the Sundance Film Festival. They had it playing at the Toronto Hot Docs Theater.
Right.
I saw a few weeks ago, Cartel Land. It's pretty hardcore. And basically they show one of the provinces in Mexico, community groups started to fight back. They formed their own group.
Yeah.
started going around to all the towns and like taking back the towns from the Knights Templar. Like the Knights Templar cartel is a hardcore villain to have in the video. But then they also showed the other side in the Arizona. They've got the Arizona First Response, which is like the community response in Arizona. They're like it's sort of like a militia movement, but it's like doing border patrols of their own.
Well, these people, they need to take their communities back from these drug cartels because there's nowhere to run. They end up trying to run, and they run north, and they end up having to deal with the cartels to get them across, and they either end up dead in the desert, or they have to work for the cartels for years and basically be a slave for them. So then what kind of freedom is that? You left here because you left one place to go over here, and you're still living a nightmare. So, I mean, it's not good for anybody. They need to deal with the issue. And the mainstream media never addresses this issue. They just make it, well, oh, if you want to address anything in terms of immigration, you must be a racist, you know. I don't know. As a Canadian, I can't get across the border very easy into America. I can't. I need all kinds of ID and... It's like a, you know, you're getting put through the ringer to go and you're just going to visit. So.
But you gotta pay the 50 cents or 75 cents, whatever it is, to, go through the turnstile to get in, to go across the bridge at Niagara Falls.
Oh, really? They put in turnstiles?
Yeah, you have to pay some money just to, if you just wanted to take picture, let's say when you're over the bridge, cause you get it, you know, when you go over the bridge, you have the Canadian side and the American side and you're right in the center. If you want to take a picture, you got to pay to get in. You have to pay to get in there.
Right.
50 cents or, cause I remember going over one time. I didn't go over that time. I just looked at and it said 50 cents. I said, it never happened like that before. You used to be able to just walk right through and go to the other side and do what you have to do on the American side. You didn't have to pay, but now you have to pay. I think it's 50 cents or 75 or whatever it is.
How about the, what were those pay-per-use toilets? Did they ever hit the streets?
I think there's a few.
Yeah?
There's a few on the streets.
All I remember is they cost an absurd amount of money, to build these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much they're charging per poo. I don't know.
What?
Probably $2 or $3.
So it was the city of Toronto had, they wanted to implement these pay-per-use toilets?
I've only seen one down near Harborfront. There is one down there.
Right.
So there's probably, in the Pan Am Games they can make some cash.
Captain John's probably living in it.
there is free, porta potty things at the, Nathan Phillips Square. They've got a few rows of them.
Right.
Well, you know what we call them? We call them the Newfie Space Shuttle.
Newfie Space Shuttle.
Yeah.
It is like a weird blue water usually, you can see in the water.
Well, I try to avoid those if I can, but sometimes if you're out in the boat, you have to go, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a good way we could save a lot of money with a lot of these older, you know, portable outhouses that if they've seen better days and they're at the end of their lifespan, we could repurpose those to be more sustainable and we could build a retirement village, kind of like a retirement villa, vacation type place and the politicians, that could be their retirement homes.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have to pay these giant pensions. We'll just say, look, we got it all set. We got the retirement villa. It's on Lake Erie. It's a bunch of outhouses. You can live in those. You're set. There's a cat food factory down the road. It's pretty cheap. Lots of food. Water. We're not going to set up running water. You just walk down to the lake and drink straight out of Lake Erie. So that's my, you know, and it'd save the taxpayers a lot of money and it'd help, with austerity to pay back the bankster gangsters, right? So we got to pay back the gangster banksters. So we got to send our politicians. They can retire to the outhouse village, Agenda 21 sustainable certified, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have to pay them any more pensions. They got, they're set for life.
Do you have to, have an environmental assessment if you want to put one on your property?
It's called Freedom 21. It's a, new retirement package we've put together for the government, Freedom 21. And it's called that because it's a maximum, the minimum capacity of 21 people per outhouse. So it's a shared, these are shared units that the government will have to share. And if they don't, say they have extra space, we may have to charge them a bedroom tax fee. Because they have, you know, unoccupied space. So, I mean, it may sound ridiculous and tyrannical, but it's no different than what they're trying to do to us. So, just judo, reverse it on them. Yeah, you like it? Let's start petitions, you know. No more pensions for government. Go live in a friggin' outhouse retirement villa, you sacks of thieving garbage. And I mean, this mentality really needs to permeate throughout Canada and the Canadian public before things get any better. The people need to realize we're getting screwed and they need to say, we don't want it anymore.
We've had enough.
The problem is too many people don't realize they're being screwed. Or if they do, they're like, yeah, what could I do? Oh, well, it's not that bad yet.
And I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Well,
I think that's what we should do.
We've only got another minute or two left in the show. Any last closing thoughts or?
Well, what do you think of the global warming going on today? It's quite the thing.
It's pretty hot. I'm suffering up here because I got the AC turned off while we're on the air, and it's getting a little steamy up here. That's
well,
all
least,
I can say.
Yeah, you're in a steam room.
But actually, it's been a little bit cooler than quite a few summers. I wouldn't say it's the coolest summer, but it hasn't been too hot this summer so far. But today's a hot one.
Yeah. Well, I took holidays for 2 weeks, so I'm relaxing and taking it all in. And I picked a good time to take a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm gonna enjoy 2 weeks, retirement.
2 weeks retirement, then it's back to the grind.
Yeah, that's what they do to you.
You might as well head out to, check out a Mother Canada statue.
Yeah.
See if you can make it out to Cape Breton.
I'm thinking we should just drop a whole bunch of outhouses around that island there, around the statue, because you get good real estate value there.
Yeah, and you'll be bringing in the tourists to see it.
Yeah.
Any kind of sinister sight gets a popularity.
Well, guess what? End of the show.
It's that time.
Talk to you next week. Oh, shout out to Reps versus Dents for on YouTube.
Right on.
I forgot to shout out. A new
world order. Okay, folks. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Not the law of the jungle governs the conduct of nations.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
With SRN.